So, hi there, folks, from Movie Break. I'm Lida Bach. I'm here with Rich Papiat.
Hello.
And he made the new movie, Kneecap. So, Kneecap, maybe you know it, it's also the Irish band. How did you meet the guys?
I live in Belfast, and so I basically just went to one of their gigs. I'd never heard of them before. I wanted to, you know, to hear some music, have a couple of drinks, and they were playing on that night. And so fate played a big part of it. And for me, you know, walking into that gig and hearing them for the first time, I listened to music that just resonated with me. You know, my favorite band growing up was Rage Against the Machine and Beastie Boys, and that sort of old school hip hop punk kind of vibe is just something that, you know, is, I would say, is my home base of music. And Kneecap with that, and to find them being a Belfast band on my doorstep was a revelation. I feel very lucky that I've got to make a film with, you know, with a band who would be my favorite band, even if I wasn't making a film with them. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a very cool thing.
And what's special about Kneecap, what those of the listeners who are like maybe more in the film bubble than in the music bubble might not know, is they make a mix of Irish lyrics and English lyrics. So they're very patriotic about the Irish language. And of course, they're also very involved in politics, one could say. There's a lot of, hip hop has always been very political. That's one big thing. So it's really within this music genre. But for them, it's especially a point to say, like, we make lyrics in our own language because Irish is very little spoken in Ireland, which is sad.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, the act of speaking and rapping in the Irish language is in itself political, because for, you know, hundreds of years, the language was banned by the English, and you know, it's never really recovered from that. In the whole of the north of Ireland, there's only 6,000 speakers. And so for the band to decide to live their life through the Irish language is a political act in itself that says, I reject my identity as British so fundamentally that I won't even speak your language. And I think that that's very powerful because, you know, borders are just things drawn on a map, right? But the language you dream in is, you know, no one can take that away from you. And if they dream in the Irish language, they're Irish.
And it's also a great way to advertise it and encourage young people to learn this language or to use it.
Well, absolutely. And that's something which, you know, they've never been consciously doing. They've never seen themselves as being, you know, we're here to educate the youth and to encourage them to speak. But naturally, you know, Irish has been taught in schools and it becomes, you know, it's another class next to maths and science and everything that, you know, is just obviously uncool because it's a school subject. And, you know, they've made it a language of the streets, a language of street culture. And I think that automatically makes young people want to engage in it. And we're seeing a real growth in the language. When I was first met the band, one of the first things I did was sign up to Irish language classes. And that was back in 2019. And there was 10 people in the class. And half of them were there because they were fans of Kneecap. And that was back in 2019. And I can only think now, and how many more classes there are, how many more people are going, and how many more people are there because they like the music, seen the film. And you know, colloquially, what I hear is that's a lot. And you know, I think making a film is a wonderful thing. To make a film that feels like it's had a real cultural resonance, that really has had an impact in that positive way, is something that's special, yeah.
Which is also a great thing about the film, that it's a political and socially relevant story, but it's also a lot of fun. And it's a great comedy about basically like a body comedy that tells the story how those guys got together as a band, how they started really to make music. And then they had their first album that was 2017. So how much the guys that we should maybe also say, because some people, they have not seen the movie yet, it's yet going to be released in Germany, they play themselves. So first, maybe I should ask, how did you cast them as themselves? Because only because you have been it doesn't mean you can act it. So,
well, look, I mean, it was never really a consideration not to cast them themselves. That was kind of my pitch to them, is I want you to play yourselves, because it's very difficult to cast, you know, actors to play a band that no one's really heard of, because the actors would be bigger than the people they're playing, right? And so, you know, you can't tell If someone's playing John Lennon, you can tell, well, that's a good, he's done a good impression of John Lennon. But if you don't know who the band member is, then you've got no idea if they're like them or any, do you know what I mean? That it would just create confusion.
You always see the actor.
You'd see the actor, you wouldn't see the band. So it was never really an option to make a film like this to do anything else. And I just thought it would be very interesting to do that. I think it's an interesting space to be in. But I think it's very brave of them as well, because people think, oh, playing yourself, how hard can that be?
But you've done it.
Well, I've done it, but actually it's very hard to play yourself, because it creates all sorts of existential questions. The minute you start thinking about it, it's very hard. The minute you're conscious of the fact you're playing yourself, trust me, it suddenly becomes very difficult to understand, well, who am I? How do I act? You start, the naturalness goes and you have to try and bring it back again. And not only that, you know, there was conversations around the fact that when you're putting your real life, your real decisions, your family, yourself up on screen, that's very different to an actor playing a role. Because if an audience sees actors playing a role and they don't like the character, then that's not really a reflection on the actor themselves. But when you're putting yourself up on screen, if audiences react negatively to you, that's them saying they don't like you. And that's something that had to be prepared for, because, you know, there's no guarantee of success. There's no guarantee, you know, you make a film and maybe, you know, luckily Kneecap has done very well, but it could have gone the other way and there could have been a backlash against them. And I'm really happy that they took that gamble and that it's paid off for them.
And I guess there's also this big question, how much of what we see on screen is their real lives? And has there been some, I mean, usually there has been some invention, even if it's just like to make the film sometimes shorter. Sometimes you just have to comprise characters because you cannot introduce a new figure every 5 minutes. So people who watch movies are aware of that. So how much is their real life?
Well, I think you nailed it on the head. I mean, there is some compression. There's a little bit of kind of amalgamating characters. But I would say 80% of it's true. And the 20% that isn't true, you know, a good portion of that is real stories that are taken from friends of theirs, people in the community. So there's very little that's kind of stuff that are just made up. And that speaks to what a crazy place West Belfast is.
Which we would see in the introduction of the film, yeah, about what everybody thinks when they hear the word Belfast, yeah. Yeah, what they think the story will be like. And then how much did the guys give to the plot? Because even if you say like, okay, you have about that age, so you can play this kind of range of your lives, you know, you couldn't play yourself as a 5-year-old. but how much did the guys decide which stories to sell? Because I imagine there must be like hundreds of stories, enough for like 10 movies.
Well, I said to them very early on, if I'm making this film, you need to give me control of how it's told, because this can't be an hour and a half puff piece for the band. Do you know what I mean? It can't be an hour and a half music video. It can't be an hour and a half of pure positivity about you. It needs to feel like a movie. And that means it has to be warts and all. It has to have the bad side as well. And that means you have to allow me to take a judgment on things. And they respect, as artists themselves, they respected that. And they never said to me, you know, take that out. We don't want you to tell that story. Yeah, there's a lot of stories that could have been in there. They've lived crazy lives. And the best thing is, I don't even remember half of it because of all the drugs.
They don't know what they did. Yeah,
they don't know what they did. Yes. And, you know, I'd spend, you know, 3 or 4 years after getting to know them, you'd still be out with them and they'd tell you a story and you'd be like, why didn't you tell me that story 3 years ago? That would have been great in the film. Why didn't you mention that? And like, I didn't even think about it. And you're like, you idiot. So yeah, there's another version of Kneecap that could have existed with some even better stories. But it didn't come up.
Which is also like a very ambivalent point in the movie, because I remember that a colleague of mine with whom I discussed the movie on air, and that she didn't like, she said the one negative thing that she found about the film was the positive presentation of drugs. And I was like, oh, I find that so great. Because I think that drugs should be neutral. They're not bad or good. It's not like, oh, you're bad. Like, you know,
well, well, look, I think that, well, look, that absolutely was my philosophy on it, was that, you know, often when we see drugs depicted in films, they then have to have a narrative where someone has to go to rehab or throw themselves out of a window. And the reality is that most people who take drugs recreationally just live their life and don't have negative effects from that, right? It doesn't become a problem. It just becomes a thing. Like,
it's also what you define as drug. Like, we all drink alcohol sometimes.
Right,
and for some, it gets out of hand. But for most, it doesn't.
For most, it doesn't. And so I felt like I wanted to make a film where drugs were part of their lives, but wasn't a film about drugs, right? The drugs don't drive the narratives. The drugs are just a thing, because that was the reality. That is the reality of their lives. And I didn't feel like I should be forced to somehow include a narrative where one of them becomes, you know, it becomes a problem. Also, because it wasn't true. Like, the fact is, they recreationally take drugs and they're okay. I mean, if this story was like, you know, in 10 years' time, maybe when there's a kneecap too, they'll all be in rehab and, you know, all getting therapy and, you know, and that can be kneecap too. But for this moment in time of which the film is, we are where we are, and drugs are just part of the tapestry, part of the fun of it. And my favorite review of the film to this day is someone who wrote, it's great to finally see a film with drugs in it, clearly made by people who've taken a lot of drugs.
Yeah, but I actually did appreciate it, because so often there's misrepresentation. And there's also, like you said, that negativity. There has to be some moral, some lesson that drugs are bad. And often it's people who don't take drugs. You don't know how the drugs work.
Yeah.
And then you have this completely, like, distorted image how the drugs would work.
Well, it was also this decision that cocaine is something that you see in almost every single show, people taking cocaine. And it's just, like, a bit boring. Like, coke's just coke. And we were like, well, let's make ours more about ketamine, because ketamine's a lot more interesting. And we were like, have you ever seen ketamine really depicted on the screen? And we were like, not really. We're like, well, let's try it. And ketamine, for anyone who's done ketamine or hasn't done ketamine, it's a hallucinogenic drug, but not in a, like, you're seeing sort of, you know, pixies. It's much more in a kind of a headfuck way, where you're kind of disassociated and your kind of frame of reference is slightly off. And I think that for me, like, they're seen like being on the bus, and all of the people are dressed as the bus seats.
Yes, which is very real in Berlin.
Like, yeah, which is very ketamine-y as an experience. Like, I've been on after a rave or something, been getting on public transport, and it does just capture to me that feeling of being, oh, I shouldn't be here. Like, this is.
So did you do drugs together with the guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a refreshing answer. I was starting to like the movie more and more.
The first night that we properly spent together was very much like the scene, the garage in the film. I mean, it's very much inspired by that. I rolled into the house about 8 o'clock in the morning on like a Tuesday, and my wife was like, "Where have you been?" And I was like, "Working."
Working really hard, yeah.
And she had to, you know, and there was many, in the next 5 years, there was many of those nights where, you know, I think, here's the thing about drugs, right, is they are bonding, okay? And it's like, you know, you can spend months and months and years getting to know people bit by bit, or you can do a shit ton of drugs and do it all in one night.
Yeah, and if somebody tells you they take the same drugs, you immediately feel like you have something deeply in common.
You know, when you find yourself lying half naked in a pile on the floor, you know, that's bonding, and you're gonna go, okay, now we're all friends here, and that very much was the, you know, we kind of shortcutted a lot of getting to know you by just taking too many drugs.
And so to get a little bit away from the drugs, even if it's such a great subject. The guys also released their next album and worked very hard on it during the film, I suppose, because did that ever interfere?
No, I mean, look, it was much more, it's been a really difficult year for them in the sense that, you know, releasing their debut album at the same time as the movie has been intense. You know, they barely had a day off. They're, you know, flying here, there and everywhere. And you know, it's been, you know, intense enough for me just promoting the film. But for them trying to do both together and do gigs and festivals, But equally, they recognize the very first world problem to be so successful that you've got a movie release worldwide and a successful album all at once. But look, they deserve all the success they've got because they do work very hard and they are genuinely lovely lads, and I love them very dearly.
Did you have problems with the age certification? Because it's a great film for young people. I would love to see it go like 12-something, but because of the drugs, they had that with one of their singles.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were always, I think, there were perhaps some parties involved in the film would have liked less of some of that stuff. They, a 15 rated film.
Oh, that's tough.
I don't know the rating system here in Germany, but we're the highest rating you can get in terms of age.
In Germany, it's not really high.
Which makes it more or less commercial in a way. Do you know what I mean? Because you're instantly cutting out, a lot of teenagers. What we say is, look, if you're the sort of teenager who likes Kneecap, then you'll be smart enough to work out how to get into the cinema, even if you're underage. I've never found
it's a challenge.
I've never found cinemas to be the most rigorous of places when it comes to age. Not that I'm encouraging anyone to be naughty.
No,
but I am encouraging that actually. Read between the lines, people. Get out to the cinema. Go and see it. Hide under your mate's skirt. I don't know. Whatever you have to do. Get some stilts. Draw a beard on your face. I don't know.
This is so good because this will be the first interview where not I'm the one who gets the bad rap afterwards, but it will be you.
Well, I have to deal with the bands who go on stages at festivals and say, here, go and see our film. It's on the dodgy box. You can get it for free.
Yeah, but that's
and I'm like, which is their punk ethos. Like, ultimately, it's been said to them, can you stop encouraging people to illegally download the film? And they're like, hey, that's what we'd do if it wasn't our film. So, you just go, look, they that is the beauty of Kneecap. They don't play by the rules. And ultimately they go, this is who we are. And we encourage people to bootleg and to, do things like that. That's all part of the punk movement, the punk ethos of undercutting the man.
And totally, people, if they love the movie and saw it on a leak, they will go to the cinema. And those who see it only on a leak often can't afford even to go to the cinemas. Okay, they can make the decision.
Absolutely. And this is even, even with their merchandise, they say to people, look, we're fine with you buying illegal merchant, fake merchandise, because those people who make it need the money too. You know what I mean? And that's a very refreshing thing. Like, I would do it? I'd be like, no, buy the merchandise we make money off of. But, that's why Kneecap is special, is because they just have a very unique outlook on life. And, we're like family. It's like, and with family, you don't agree on everything. You argue sometimes, but you always come back together with love and kiss each other.
This would be such a great closing statement, but I have to ask you, what's your next project?
Well, I mean, look, when you're making films, you're never making a film till you're making it. But, I've got a very Irish film that I'm hoping to make called Bad Bridget, which is about women emigrate from Ireland during the famine. That's a black comedy. And then I've got something that is more like Triangle of Sadness, but with zombies. Both will be very controversial and will no doubt upset people more, which is where I want to be.
Which is good.
Unless I feel that I am on the brink of getting cancelled at any minute and at the brink of sort of like, never being able to make a film again, I don't feel you're trying hard enough. I think you need to be pushing up against the edge of acceptability. And that's where interesting art happens, right? It's just
absolutely
pushing up against the edge of things and testing where the limits are. And I think that level of jeopardy gets me out of bed in the morning, right? It's that to me excites me.
Totally comfortable and complacent is next to boring. So I'm very much looking forward to your next movies. Thank you so much for that great interview, Rich Pepiat.
Appreciate it.